Welcome to season two of the Santon Ensure Your Future Money Bootcamp with me, Mapalo Maku.
And me, Maya Fisher-French. We invite you to join our money conversations and use these discussions both as motivation and information to kickstart your own personal finance transformation.
So in the past few months, we have covered topics like how to budget, buying a home, credit. But we do all of these things so that we accumulate assets, right? And that is why today we are talking about investing. Mm-hmm. And one of the concepts that we struggle with, Maya, is compound growth. And often we hear, your investment has grown by 10% and your money doubles every
7 years, basically.
Every seven years, exactly. Yeah. But what does that mean exactly, Maya?
I think this is important, and people always come back and they say, I don't understand this concept of compounding. And what do you mean that, 10% money doubles every 7 years and all the rest of it? So basically, maybe I should take a step back and say there's something called the rule of 72. And the rule of 72 is that whatever your return is, so say your return per annum is 10%, if you take 72 and you divide it by 10, you get 7.2. So every 7.2 years, your money doubles. So that's kind of why we often talk about that your money doubles every 7 years if you're getting a 10% return. But this is where the power of compounding really starts to work. So let's say you have 100,000 rand. In the first 7 years, your money doubles. It goes from 100,000 to 200,000. That's nice, 100,000 over 7 years, but doesn't feel terribly exciting, right? But what happens the next 7 years? It goes from 200 to 400. Then it goes from 400 to 800. And in your final 7 years, 800,000 to 1.6 million. So in that 7 years, your 800,000 to 1.6 million, that doubling is 800,000. Whereas in the first 7 years, the doubling's only 100,000. Because you need that time of compounding to keep compounding and compounding and compounding. And I think people think that, 100 goes to 200 to 300 to 400. They don't understand this absolute massive jump and how that is the last 7 years is 15 times more valuable than the first 7 years. But Mapalo, you have to stay invested to get there. And this is what we struggle with. People pulling money out of two pot, thinking that if I take the money today and I settle debt, it's okay. But you never, ever, ever get to that 800,000 that's going to turn into the 1.6 million.
And I think that's the key. And I think this is the thing that we miss the most, right? That we don't understand that just stay invested because we're thinking, goodness, you are telling me to invest for 10 years. And that seems like a long time because you haven't reached the 1.6 million yet. But leave it invested. Now the doubling, that's where the magic happens. But Maya, 10%, is it a really reasonable percent or return that someone can look forward to?
Yeah, we often use 10%, don't we, when we're doing sort of rule of thumb and discussing it. It's an interesting question, right? So if we go back and we look at the last 20 years' return on the Johannesburg Stock Exchange, the top 40, the 40 largest companies on the JSE, they've actually averaged just over 12% per annum over the last 20 years. So in fact, I asked Satrix to do some maths for me. And I said, if I invested in the Satrix top 40, which is just tracks the largest 40 companies in South Africa, and I'd put 100,000 rand in 2002, what would it be worth today? And it would be worth over a million rand, okay? So that's basically 12% per annum return. So that's not an unreasonable number to be working with. But I'm going to put a caveat here. A lot of that return was before 2008. And the Johannesburg stock market hasn't done that well in the last sort of 10 years as it was in the first 10 years. Since the credit crisis in 2008, then we had COVID. So, I thought, okay, let's be a little bit more honest about this and be a little more careful about how we're choosing the numbers. So I said, what's happened in the last 10 years? So since 2015, if I had invested 100,000 rand in 2015, what would it be worth today? And I said to Satrix, don't just tell me the Johannesburg stock market, show me cash. If I'd invested it in cash, if I invested it in the Satrix top 40, if I'd invested it in the Satrix MSCI World Index, now that means it's invested across the world. It's got exposure to 1,600 companies. And tell me just the American market, which would be the S&P 500. And I said, give me some figures on that. And the outcomes, Mapalo, very interesting. So cash, again, everybody feels comfortable in cash. It's safe, blah-de-blah, fish paste, not going to make you rich, okay? So cash would have given you, your 100,000 would now be worth just over 190,000, okay? So it's gone up by about 90%, which is about an average of 6.7% per annum, okay? The Johannesburg Stock Exchange, if you were in the Satrix Top 40, your 100,000 would now be 260,000. So that's quite a lot more. That's giving you, 70,000 Rand more than cash would have, okay, in what we would not call the best stock market we've had in history. And that works out at an average of about 10%. So again, even in a weak environment, over time, remember we are talking over time, per year markets can be up and down, but over the last 10 years, it has still, even in a relatively weak market, given us 10%. But then you're going to look at the figures globally. So if you were invested in the MSCI World Index, that's exposure to the world global markets, your 100,000 would be worth 380,000 Rand. So that's gone up by 280%. So that's a really great return. But the American markets blew it all away, and your 100,000 would be worth 470,000 now.
Yeah. I wish I had invested 100,000
in the S&P 500 10 years ago. Now, you see, this is the point, right? Yeah. I'm going to say that here, okay? So everyone's going to say, well, I'm going to go and put all my money in the S&P 500. Let me tell you what the S&P 500 did over the last 1 year. So we talked 10 years. Looks great. If you go back to the beginning of, I think I asked Satrix for this number as well. So I said, okay, take it from the 1st of February to the 1st of March over the last year. And there the JSE has outperformed the S&P 500. So markets move at different times. And the best thing, of course, is diversification.
100%, Maya. And the thing is, when we talk about the S&P 500, that is the hottest thing that people are talking about. And even when you're looking at these numbers, but again, you're saying that is why you need to diversify.
Because especially when something's done really well. So remember, the American markets were running because of Google, Alphabet, and Facebook, and Tesla, and all of these big tech stocks. And all of that has sort of come tumbling down. The tariff wars that Trump has unleashed upon the world. When things are very expensive, they've got more chance of really falling, and you know, people taking profits. And we certainly saw that. So if we look at the JSE, it actually well outperformed the S&P 500 over the last year. So, and this is what I warn people, is that if you keep chasing last year's returns, you could end up actually losing money. So for me, a well diversified, if you know, something like the MSCI World Index, a little bit of maybe still have some of the top 40, but have some diversification like the MSCI World Index, which is exposing you to global markets, would be better than trying to just choose a particular market and hope that market is going to outperform.
But now, Maya, someone could be listening and saying, well, we are effectively looking back, and even fund managers tell you, past performance does not necessarily mean that you will have the same performance. But you are saying, over a long period of time, history tells us over and over that the stock market outperforms any other asset class.
Absolutely. So it certainly outperforms cash. In fact, there isn't. Yes. So maybe over 2 years, you in the middle of COVID, the markets collapse. Yes, cash will outperform. But we don't know when that happens. We can't predict what's going to happen over the next year. But what we can know is that over a period of 10 or 20 or 30 years, and that's what we're talking about, building wealth. We're talking about building wealth over 10, 20, 30 years. What we do know is that companies go out every single day to make profits. And they're wanting to outperform inflation. They're wanting to deliver returns. Your cash isn't doing that. Your cash is simply there giving you a risk-free return. And that's great, except the biggest risk is actually inflation and not keeping up with the cost of living. And that's what cash will do to you. So, I mean, even as I said, even over the last 10 years, which hasn't been the most brilliant time in the JSC, it's still outperformed cash.
100%. But now, Mike, we are talking about 100,000, and someone could be at home sitting and thinking to themselves, well, clearly this is not for me. What of someone who has 3,000 rand? Let's say, for example, a tax-free savings account. You can contribute up to a maximum of 3,000 rand and 36,000 rand per year. What kind of returns am I looking at there?
Again, I went back to Satrix and I said to them, you know, that we spoke about a lump sum. So remember that lump sum of 100,000 has had that massive compounding of 10 years. So growth on growth on growth. But if you're contributing, you're contributing every single month, then obviously it doesn't have quite the same amount of time to grow. But what if you had, so I said to them, what if you'd started contributing in 2015, 10 years ago when tax-free savings accounts started? What would your contributions be now? And, you know, basically, you would have invested about 330,000 over that period.
So You would have contributed.
Your total pocket, out of your pocket, would have been 330,000. If you'd sat in cash, you would have 470,000 rand now. That's an average return of 4.3%. Okay. Now, remember, that will look lower than the lump sum because the last contribution was only last month. So you've only had a month's growth on that. So remember, these will look lower purely because they haven't had the 10-year compounding. So cash would have been 4.3%. The JSC, you would have a return of 588,000 rand, which is around 8% return per annum. The MSCI World Index, you would be sitting with 800,000 rand. And the S&P 500, you would have 900,000 rand. So again, in retrospect, you know, if only we could have the crystal ball. So, that is some really good returns. But again, it still comes back to the fact that if you were sitting in cash, you would be at, you know, at 200,000 rand less than what you would have had you even invested in the JSC, which of the three was the weakest performance. So I think that that's really important. And again, coming back to that 1 year figure, if you had invested on the JSC over the last year, you would have 44th. If you'd put 36,000 rand in on the 1st of March 2024, that would now be worth 44,000 rand. If you were in the top 40, and only 41,000 rand if it was in the S&P 500. So again, be very careful about just, you know, investing on the last, on previous returns.
Yes, 100% Maya. And now you're talking big numbers. I mean, 916,000 rand.
In 10 years.
In 10 years' time. What about inflation? What does it mean? Because we're talking about returns, 10%. Is it a real return? What is the difference between real return and nominal return? And this is where we really, really, really struggle.
We need to explain this. And I think it's very important because it's easy to say, oh, you get 10%. But what is inflation doing? So inflation, you are investing to at least for two things. You're investing to make sure that the same cappuccino you buy today, you can afford to buy in the future, but actually you want growth as well. You want to be able to buy two cappuccinos, even three cappuccinos. So how does inflation come into that? So over this period, so let's say you invested in a diversified portfolio over the last 10 years and you had a 12% per annum average return over that period. Inflation ran in South Africa at 5%. So what that means is if you take 12% is the return, 5% is inflation. The difference is 7%. And we call that 7% a real return. It is real. It is after inflation. It is what I'm actually getting so that I can buy. So the 5% makes sure I can still buy a cappuccino in the future. The 7% allows me to buy more than one cappuccino in the future. Okay, that's what real means. Okay. And again, remember I mentioned that rule of thumb, the 72. So if you say, okay, I only want to work with real return. I want to forget inflation. I'm going to use the 7%. So if I take 72 divided by 7, that means every 10 years my money would double in real terms. That cappuccino, am I still paying for the same? Am I still going to get the same cappuccino for that money? You put this into practical terms. Let's say, for example, you put away 8,000 rand a month, maybe between your tax-free savings account and your company pension fund, you're putting 8,000 rand away and you're 30 years old and you do that till the age of 65 and you're getting 12% return, okay? Let's say that's the number. If I went and just did the maths on that, I would be telling you, you're going to have 46 million at the age of 65. That's going to sound like a big number, but no, we've got to count inflation. So if I take a step back and I say, well, your real return after inflation will be 7%. So I'm not going to use 12%. I'm going to use 7% return. And that gives me a number of 14 million rand in today's value. And what that means is that what 14 million rand is today, what you could buy with that and spend with that is the same. That's the number in the future, if you know what I mean. So that's the 14 million rand in today's value would actually be 46 million rand in the future value. Mm. So it's very important that we use the real numbers. And even if, say, for example, you didn't get 12% return, maybe you only got 10% and inflation was 5%, then your real return would be 5%, right? And when you run those numbers, you would have 9 million rand in today's value at retirement. So I think that is important because those big telephone numbers that you get when you have that don't take inflation into account can sound like, oh, I'm going to be a billionaire, 46 million, well, at least 46 million. No. It means in today's value, it would be about 14 million. So it is important.
Maya, I love the fact that you gave us the big number, the nominal return versus real return, because I have found that even there are people who will say, oh no, 14 million, then you'll probably be able to buy a loaf of bread. And you're saying, there is a bigger number. This one is a real one. This is a tangible number. And we're saying you are investing because you want to be able to keep your purchasing power and make sure that you do have growth as well. So thank you so much for explaining that. And I hope that our listeners finally get it.
Yeah.
That nominal is including, it's just a big number. Now you want to say after inflation.
And, you know, we know, we've shown you the figures. The figures are that you should be able to get between 10 and 12% over the long term, please. Don't start arguing with me and saying, yes, over the last, by the way, the last year, the JSE returned 23%. So yes, that looked good. But we had the year before where it didn't. We're talking 10, 20, 30 years. And that's where just plugging away, putting your money away every month, just letting it over time compound, grow, get that long-term average return. And if you're able to do that, you will get, and I mean, as I said, anywhere between 9 and 14 million rand in what we think 9 and 14 million rand is worth today. But of course, remember, Mapalo, going back to that first example of compounding, how the last 7 years matter. So you have to be doing it for a long period of time. You can't be saying, I've done this for 5 years, I'm not happy, and I'm cashing it out, and I'm going to go on holiday. You're never going to get there. You're never going to get to the point where you're starting to see that big compounding.
And you know, Maya, I think having worked as a financial planner before, I had realized that, you know, people complain about their pension or provident fund, or they're taking my money, I should be investing it myself. People don't do that in their own capacity. But for those people, I remember this teacher. She had been a teacher all her life, had contributed to this pension fund. She retired with 15 million rand. 15
as a teacher.
Yes, as a teacher. And so for me, every time I hear these arguments, I'm like, you have not seen this in practice. And that's very unfortunate. It wasn't 15 million when she started work.
No.
15 million when I was seeing her.
Mm. And I think, Mapalo, it is frustrating for someone like you or me who sees the long term, who've seen the long term outcomes. You're 30 years old now, and you know, you've had exposure to people because of your work who've accumulated that money. It's very hard when you're 30 now and you haven't seen those examples. And sadly, many of the times you haven't even seen it with your own parents because they didn't save for retirement. So it is, we're trying to explain a concept that people haven't visually experienced yet. They think that that teacher who had 15 million at retirement must have won the lotto. Winning the lotto is actually just putting every single day, keeping your retirement intact and letting it grow. That's the lotto.
100%. I think we have thoroughly explained it. But now let's get into the discussion around tax-free savings accounts and why we love them, and explaining passive investing and active investing.
Oh, I don't know. We need another whole podcast for active and passive. But I mean, I think, you know, Mapalo, one of the questions we get often from people, they're saying, where should we invest? You know, you can start off with if you have your company pension fund, great base, okay? You know, solid, you don't have to think too much about it, you can leave it there. You know, if you're self-employed like you and me, retirement annuity works really well. I love paying less tax, which I use my retirement annuity for. But I think where the tax-free savings account comes in is, for me, I use it definitely as a top-up for my retirement. Because for me, my retirement annuity, yes, I get a tax break on it and helps me reduce my tax, current tax. But there's so many rules about it when it comes to the end. I can only take a third lump sum, which portion of it could be taxable, portion won't be taxable. Then I have to use two-thirds to buy myself an income, and that is taxable. My tax-free savings account, that 14 million like that I would love to build up in there, if I could, I can't go to 8,000, but at least I can put my 3,000 every month in it. I will get to maybe 10 million rand sitting in there. That would be very nice to take tax-free. So that's why I like the tax-free savings account.
Completely tax-free. And I think what people miss when they, let's say after 2 years, they withdraw from the tax-free savings account, you will never really see that growth in there. So imagine yourself with 15 million and the tax man says, okay, go and enjoy yourself. How it doesn't happen. And I think if you can just get that, leave those funds in there, let them grow completely tax-free. You know, if you are turning 30, for example, let's say you started one for your child, they are 30 and they can afford to leave it even further. Mm. The tax-free benefits are just astounding.
The only sad thing is that they're capped at 500,000 rand lifetime limit. So once you've contributed over your lifetime, you've reached 500,000 in total. Currently, we're not allowed to add more. I keep bringing this question up every time I interview someone from National Treasury as to when they're going to lift that. And hopefully maybe they will. Maybe they will bring it. But that's probably the one negative on the tax-free savings account, is that we are capped there. So that is a limit.
Maya, please also explain that the growth on that investment is not capped.
Yes.
Because I have had questions like, oh, you know, by you talking about millions, people are just going to get taxed on this thing. No, you're talking about what you are contributing is up to 500,000.
Yes.
But the growth.
Well, let's use the example we had earlier in the discussion where 330. So if you had maximized your contributions, you would now be at 330,000. But your growth, if you'd had an S&P 500, would be 900,000. There's nothing capping that 900,000 from doubling and doubling.
I see on that.
And doubling. And remember, if you leave that 900,000 and it doubles every 10 years, let's say, that means in 10 years' time, it becomes 1.8 million. And that's 1.8 million tax free. You draw it out. You don't pay tax. I mean, I want 1.8 million tax free.
Every time we talk about investing, I just get so excited. I'm like, okay, instead of maybe going out after this, let me just put a little bit of money towards my investments.
But maybe one thing just to end off, we've spoken about obviously the tax-free savings account, but we mentioned the MSCI World Index, we mentioned the S&P 500, and it is important for South Africans to have global exposure. Maybe we should just talk a little bit about how to have global exposure and the different ways to do that.
I do it through my exchange-traded funds. So you don't have to go and get, hard currency and convert and make sure that you invest in offshore. Literally, on Cetrix, for example, you buy the S&P 500. Mm. Sitting right here in South Africa, putting money in there per month, you have access to all these other funds as well.
Yeah, very low cost, easy way to have global exposure. But for some people, they want to externalize their money. And then I have proper offshore funds that sit outside of the country that are in a hard currency. And there, though, you kind of need to have probably about 100,000 rand to start. So a good way to do that would be to build up in your not tax-free savings account, please, because that you don't want to withdraw from that. But you can just open up a unit trust or an exchange-traded fund that's locally based, even though it's exposed to the foreign markets. Like you were saying, you can have your MSCI World Index or your S&P 500 fund that's based in South Africa, it's in rands. And then when that gets to 100,000, if you want to and you feel like you would like to start building assets outside of the country, then you can. And there are many South African providers that have platforms globally that you can go and invest with them. And I think that is just an important one to consider. For many people, they would just like to know that there's actual hard currency outside.
And I think, I had the same conversation with a lady, also two kids, And she's saying, you know what? I think if my children want to go to school overseas, I want to prepare for that. And already she started putting money away, building up to take her money outside of the country. So definitely it is an option that is available to everyone.
Yeah. And that forms part of your, South Africa still has exchange controls, but you're allowed to invest, I think, R1 million a year without actually having to go and get any Reserve Bank permission or anything like that. It's just part of your investment allowance. So, and you know, why not? I mean, if you're building up some assets overseas and that's what you want to do, it's really quite easy.
Yeah, 100%. And there are many other platforms now that do it. For example, if you want to go on holiday overseas also, you could say, I want to start buying hard currency, and you're able to be.
Well, that is through your bank account. Yes. So your global, most banks now offer this a global account. And actually, it's actually quite a nice way to kind of pre-fund. You're worried, what will the rand be by the time I go on holiday? It's a nice way to pre-fund it.
For my 40th birthday, which is in the next 2.5 years. So
at least you know that the money's sitting there in dollars or euro or pounds or whichever currency you're choosing. So that is definitely a good option as well. But Maplo, I hope that we have used a lot of numbers, but you need to use the numbers to show people the potential of growth. And I really am hoping we can overcome this sort of idea of, oh, investments don't work and you can't keep up with inflation and all of that. I can assure you that if you put your money in a bank account, that is true. You're not going to accrue interest over the next 10, 15, 20 years. We have shown you the numbers. These are real numbers over the last 10 years, 20 years, cash cannot keep up with investments. And I think you do have to think about it, but you do have to think about it long-term.
100%. Long-term, and just shift your thinking. I mean, if you're sitting there and the conversation perhaps has been uncomfortable, or again, you feel like, oh goodness, just give yourself a chance. Just say, you know what, for the next 5 years, I'm just going to keep on doing this thing that they say I'm going to do and come back to us.
Yeah. Let us know. Let us know how your net asset value has grown. Now, Maplo, in our next episode, we are going to be looking maybe at the scarier number, which is, can you retire before the age of 80? Because Sanlam actually did some very interesting research, which found that they looked at the average balance in people's retirement funds, and they discovered that the average South African can only afford to retire at 80. We're going to show you how you can retire earlier, because I'm sure not everyone wants to wait till they're 80.
Until I'm 80, Maya.
So please join us for that episode. And thank you.